Let's pray. Lord God, we worship you and praise you and thank you for your power. Thank you that you're here with us. We pray that you would quicken me and enable me to bring out the word that you've given, that it would speak into our hearts and bring lasting change and transform us and cause us to be the people that you would have us to be. And open up the eyes of our understanding now, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Acts chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in all parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and acceptable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. This is the classic Pentecostal passage, and I know there are some here who have slightly different traditions, but I think everyone here is open to the or believe in the present day practice of the gifts of the Spirit. But I felt, especially as we are coming to a time when we are going to be active in evangelism, that we needed to be refreshed in these things. And we don't, as it were, beat a drum about these things, but we go to the Word, and we want to be well taught in the Word of God, that everyone is equipped. And you know, as you came to the end of the passage, says, It shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. We're in that day today. Hallelujah. We're in the good of that day today. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon individuals at certain times in power. Think of ones like Elijah. And Elisha, it really was saw so many more miracles than Elijah, and they were used in incredible ways, weren't they? We read about how they saw people healed, how they saw people raised from the dead, and the Holy Spirit was upon them in power. And we might think that we wish we were, as individuals, were being used as much as Elijah or Elisha. And we might say, we wish we were like them. But actually, We're in a day that is greater than theirs. You remember that Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest under the old dispensation. But anyone who is in the new dispensation, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, is in a better place than all of those Old Testament prophets. And so here, when it's talking about in the last days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out. We are in, that is available to us today. And really, our desire in this assembly is that no one is missing out. If the gifts of the Spirit were given to the church as Christ returned to heaven, it said he'd give gifts unto men, which is both the ministry gifts, but also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if these are available to us and there's a certain empowerment with the Holy Spirit, we don't want anyone to be lacking. And so if we are to help people to come into this, we can't just say it's true or say this is what we believe, but we're Bible-believing Christians. And so we want to look at the passages and encourage everyone to look at them again and see, do we have the fullness of what Christ promised? If you look at chapter 1 of Acts, it says that Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Father. As he says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And one of the key things to understand about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is that this is an empowerment for service. With the great need for the world to be evangelized, and that obviously this was the start of the evangelism of the world in the book of Acts. With the great need, there was a great need for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to have this power. And as we start to see the need for our day, the need for Winslow, the need for the United Kingdom to turn back to God, we cannot be without this power. We have to have the fullness of what God has for us. Yes, we need to be 100% believing in the written word of God. We don't stray from that, do we? This is our guide. If anything is not here, I'm not going to follow it. I have to find everything written in the word of God. But on the other hand, we do want every promise that is in there. If there is something it talks about that is available to us, then we want that as well. Hallelujah. And we find in the end of Mark's Gospel, it says, Mark 16, and let's read from verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So there is an incredible power that it's talking about, which is greater than the power. Obviously, it's the same Holy Spirit, but the way that we have access to the power of the Holy Spirit and can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit is something greater than Elijah had. And why? What is it? It's the fact that we can be in it every day. For them, the Holy Spirit would come upon them at certain times, but they weren't baptized in the Spirit. They weren't moving in the power of the Spirit. They didn't have that access to him all the time. But we as New Testament believers, if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can have that empowerment. It speaks in Luke about being clothed with power from on high. And I was thinking about this. I'm not sure this is a perfect analogy. But if I own a raincoat, if I own a waterproof, I can put that on and be clothed with that anytime I want to. That's there. It's available to me. And I put it on. I'm clothed with it. But it's a different thing if it's someone else's. The other day we borrowed an umbrella from Bronwyn, and that's hers, and we had it just for one day and we gave it back. That's hers, and we can't in a sense have it any time we want it, because she might not be at home and we might not have access to it. But if it's yours, if you've been given that, when you need it, it is there available to you. And so Jesus said you will be clothed with power from on high. And so we need to, I want us just to think in these few minutes about the power of Pentecost. And the first thing I would say is what incredible power it is. You see, the disciples had gone out. Jesus had sent them out and he'd commanded them to heal the sick, hadn't he? And they went out and they healed the sick and they came back to Jesus and they were so excited, weren't they? They said, well, you know, the demons are cast out in your name and all these things are happening. And we know Jesus said, don't get so excited about that. Just be excited that your names are written in the book of life. Your names are written in heaven. But they had a power. But then again, it was like borrowing a waterproof. It was Christ's power. He said, all power is given unto me. And he gave them. While they were under his authority, they could go out in his authority and do those things. But it was a temporary thing. But the incredible power that comes upon them at Pentecost, especially you think about Peter, on the day of Pentecost when he preaches and 3,000 people come under conviction of sin and they come into the kingdom. Now, if you read that sermon, it doesn't actually come across as a very good sermon. If you were to have a book of sermons and look at Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, that's not an incredible sermon by what we would term great preaching. But under the power of the Holy Spirit, those few words caused 3,000 to come under conviction of sin and to come into the kingdom. So if we are going to see something incredible done in our town, in our time, we need that kind of power where the word of God not only is heard, but it gets through to people and they come under conviction of sin and they start to cry out, what must we do? What must we do to be saved? And that is the power of Pentecost. And it can make the incredible difference between someone who is saved and has the Holy Spirit and someone who's baptized in the Holy Spirit. And God is moving incredible power. I've spoken before about, on Thursday morning in the Bible study, about Moody. And before the baptism in the Holy Spirit, he saw people saved. But he said when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, instead of seeing tens and hundreds saved, and that was very good, but he was seeing thousands saved. And so there is this incredible power, and we don't want to miss out on it. And then again, we see shortly afterwards that Peter and John, as they go to pray, there's the man at the beautiful gate in Acts chapter 3. And as a result of that, and there's a miraculous healing, they see 5,000 people saved. So that's 8,000 saved in just several days. And there would have been probably about, I think that's, there was something like 60 or 70,000 people probably around at that time. And so it seemed 10% of the population of Jerusalem at the time saved in a few days. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see 10% of Winslow and the surrounding villages or more than that saved in a matter of days? And we can believe because we know that the power of the Holy Spirit has not changed. But I want to make this slightly more practical because people may have questions about the Holy Spirit and wonder about it, and if you've not had experience or teaching about it, you may wonder about it, and there are certain questions you might throw out and say, this doesn't seem to work, this doesn't seem to make sense. And so we will look at some of these things in a little bit of detail with the time that we have. So the first thing I want to say is that really on every occasion that it talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's called being filled with the Spirit and the Holy Spirit being given or received, and the people who are baptized in the Spirit, something supernatural happens. And in every time that it is clearly described, they all speak in tongues. Now, tongues can be something that people are a little bit unsure of, some a little bit worried about, because it seems such a strange thing. Let me just give you some of these verses. So we've already read in Acts chapter 2 about the how the they speak in tongues. And then if you turn to Acts chapter 10. And Paul has preached the gospel. And it says in verse 44 that while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, because he's preaching to Gentiles, and Gentiles, it says, are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard, how did they know that they were filled with the Holy Ghost? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So he says, this is how we know. They knew. So they knew on the day of Pentecost that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit because they spoke in tongues. And then when Peter preached to the Gentiles, they knew that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit because, again, they spoke in tongues. And that's repeated in the next chapter. And then we see a similar thing in chapter 19. And and verse 5, well, Paul has come and he's wondered. He says in verse 2, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said, Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And so it seems that they are not even saved. But he says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they're saved. They're baptized, but something else is going to happen then. Verse 6, it says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And it says, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And so you see, in those three cases, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? They spoke in tongues. There was a manifestation, so that people looking on say, we know they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. That something supernatural has happened. And the last case is verse in chapter 8, and Philip has led people to the Lord, and then the apostles come and they prayed, and it says Peter and John. This is chapter 8 and end of 14. Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So again, they're saved, they're baptized under Philip, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says, verse 17, then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't actually say that they spoke in tongues, and it doesn't give as much detail as the other three passages, but it says, when Simon saw that through laying on of the hands that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now, we would just say to that Simon the sorcerer looks at them, and he sees that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he says to the apostles, if I give you money, will you give me this power so that I can lay hands on people and they receive the Holy Spirit? Now, if we look at that, something clearly happened to them that he could say, I want money so that I can do this. This was a sorcerer. He was used to doing magical things, we assume it was real with demonic power. And he enjoyed that, seeing the spectacular. And he's seen something. This wasn't just, you know, in the Anglican Church, someone is baptized as a baby and then the bishop comes. And he lays his hands on them and he confirms them. And that's supposedly when they receive the Holy Spirit. Well, there's nothing outward to show that they're filled with the Spirit. They say, but because the bishop's laid his hands on, you must be filled. The apostolic succession and all of that, you must be filled. But we know that if someone is baptized in the Spirit, something happens. In all these cases, something very outward and something very demonstrable has happened. So it's very clear. So in 3 out of 4 cases, the only cases in Acts when it's clearly described, 3 times it says that they spoke in tongues, And the other one, something spectacular happened, but it doesn't exactly say what. But the important question is, why is tongues so important? If you read in 1 Corinthians, it says it's not the chief gift. You know, covet to prophesy, Paul says. Covet the best gifts. And of all the gifts, healing is having the gifts of healings and prophecy and all these different things. They're wonderful. And he says tongues is not the chief gift. Why is the gift of tongues the first gift that people receive? Why does it seem so important when it also seems such a strange one? And you would look at the people who are around, Jews gathered from all over the place, they were visiting Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, and you would say, well, is this a respectable thing to do? That that this first group of Christians, the church is going to be birthed with a group of people who are seen to be speaking in a language they've never learnt, there's going to be an exuberance, there's going to be all this going on. Is that respectable? That they should be out there speaking tongues and people should be hearing them and wondering? Well, it's not very respectable, but very often when the Lord works, it doesn't seem respectable to those who doubt. So why is the gift of tongues so important? Now, as I've meditated and the Lord has, I believe, opened my eyes to this, it's this. The gift of tongues is a very obviously supernatural thing, in as much as it's not you doing it. It's not you doing it. As soon as you speak in tongues, you have to let go of your own faculties, your own sort of intelligence. Not that you let go, as it were, completely, but in order to speak in tongues, that's not you doing it, because you do not understand what you're saying. Amen? You do not understand what you are saying. And we will find this in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14 and verse 14. Paul says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." In other words, he says, when I'm praying in tongues, I do not understand what I'm saying. I'm speaking in tongues, I don't understand it, but he says, my spirit prays. And sometimes if you hear someone speaking in tongues, you might say, well, every time they speak in tongues, it sounds like the same thing every week. And now sometimes when people speak in tongues, we have a lot of anecdotal evidence of someone who knows another language hearing, oh, they're speaking in a language I know. Someone maybe is from another country, happens to be in a meeting, they hear someone. But I also believe that when you are speaking in tongues, your spirit is praying. Your spirit is praying. And in a sense, the sounds that come out on some occasions, it doesn't matter for certain people, because it's the spirit praying and they're merely uttering these sounds. But it's clear that his understanding is unfruitful. There's so much I go into in detail, but I'm just covering the basics. But why is tongues, I say again, why is tongues so important? Well, I believe the reason is this. If you want to move in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to prophesy, to heal, and do miracles, you have to be able to hand everything over to God. You have to let go of your abilities and your kind of common sense, and your, in a sense, the intelligence and common sense are still there in the background, but relying on your own efforts, you have to let go and say, okay, God, you're going to step in, and it's all going to be you for a miracle, for a healing, for the power of God to be seen. Now, if you can't do that with tongues, you're not going to be able to do that for the other things, right? It's very unlikely, not with the fullness. But if you're going to say, okay, I'm willing to speak in tongues and not just follow and not have to be doing everything with my intelligence, if we can put it like that. If you're willing to realize that God is doing something and it's not your intelligence anymore doing it, then you're open for all the other gifts of the Spirit. And the gift of tongues is just the first one, isn't it? And it opens the door for all the other ones. But you see, especially in our culture, in this country, British people, especially, well, we want to be very intelligent and intellectual and work everything out, and that's what causes scientists to not even believe in God. Well, I can't see God. I'm not going to believe in some spiritual, supernatural experience. That's just experience. I'm just going to go on everything I see. And British people are so much like that. But in order to get the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to let go. You've got to let go. Your intelligence is still in the background, keeping you to the Word of God, stopping you doing anything that is foolish or not right. It's still there, but you have to let go and to allow the Holy Spirit to move. And the Holy Spirit can't really move in power in one sense. He can do anything, of course, but in one sense, he's not going to really move in power, usually, unless you get to that position where you are able and willing to hand things over to him. I find in my own prayer life, I'm praying at home and I'm just seeking to be in the Spirit, and I'm worshipping the Lord and trying to, you know, break through to heaven. You know how it is, you start off just kind of with your own intelligence, your own words, your own thoughts, and then suddenly, like that, you break through and you feel God's presence and you know you've touched heaven. Well, I find when I start to do that, suddenly I will in an involuntary way start praying in tongues. And I know when I've done that, I've got to a place where I'm no longer dependent upon my intelligence and my thoughts, but I'm given to God. Now, this is an incredible thing. In a way, it's so simple, because God says, you get to the place where you can give yourself and hand things over to me, and you'll speak in another tongue. Now, if you've got to keep a tight grip on everything, then that's not gonna happen. And some people say, "Well, I've been a Christian a long time. I've never spoken in tongues." Or maybe it's because you're wanting to control everything, and you're not willing to let go and allow the power of God to move through you. And like so many things, once you experience it, oh, it's slightly more, how can we say, practical and real than you were thinking before you've ever flown. And you know, my wife hadn't flown till a few months ago. She could have maybe had all these ideas about what it was, what it's like to fly, and you can imagine it and think what it, and you maybe see other people who have flown, and you see the planes in the sky. But I've never done it. And when you kind of, oh, it's like that. It's far more real and, in a sense, ordinary. It's extraordinary going in a plane, but in a sense, then it's also ordinary once you done it, than you thought beforehand. And we're not here to persuade any one of these, but we want to set out the things that we believe, so everything is clear and open. And so, just as we come towards a conclusion, how is it that you can know that you're baptized in the Spirit? Well, we believe that you know that you're baptized in the Spirit because you speak in tongues. It doesn't, if you're not baptized in the Spirit, you're still saved, you're still going to be with the Lord when you die. But there's a handing over to the Lord that hasn't happened in you. Doesn't, if you're baptized, it doesn't mean you're a better person or a better Christian, but if you're baptized, you've suddenly discovered how to hand things over to God so that he can use you in that special way. And the incredible thing with the power of the Holy Spirit is that he will do incredible things through you, and you realize it was nothing of you. Now, everyone has that experience. If you walk with the Lord, everyone will have that experience. Suddenly God speaks through you. When you speak to someone, oh, that wasn't me. But the difference when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit is you're seeing it kind of all the time. You're seeing it on a so much more regular basis, because you have handed everything over to God and said, just, I can't do this. I can't speak in tongues. I can't do anything. I hand it over to you. And then he gets hold of you, and you've given yourself to him that he can empower you and use you in a different way. And that the fundamental thing, as we come towards a conclusion, is this is not for you. This is that we might see people saved. This is that we have a power to help other people. Just remember that verse in chapter 1 and verse 8. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And I want to be filled with the Spirit so that I can touch people's lives. And, you know, we can all tell stories, and, you know, wouldn't want to talk about anything sort of I've done or be involved in. Did I just think of Mark the Builder when he came here? And he was in need, his family was in need, and he's still ill. But I just shared the gospel, and the Holy Spirit worked in him in an incredible way and touched him. And it wasn't, like Peter, it wasn't great words, but it was the power of God. As I spoke to him, the Holy Spirit just fell on him. And as I've told you, as he drove home, he sent me a text saying I had to pull over on the side of the road because tears are streaming down my face and I'm just weeping. And it seems that he got born again. And I just simply said the gospel, but the fact that the Holy Spirit was moving, something happened. And it wasn't even based on his intellect, trying to work it out. He didn't sit down and analyze it and compare everything and find proof and all of that. The Holy Spirit hit him and he was born again, just in a simple sharing of the gospel. And that's how it should be more and more. As the more we are, if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can start to see these incredible things happening. And of course, God uses us if we're not baptized in this Holy Spirit and we're not speaking in tongues. But there's something extra. And surely if we have a passion to see souls saved, we need this extra. And so much realizing it's not us. Just remind you of what it says in Acts chapter 3, where the man, remember Peter and John, see a man who is lame and from birth, from his mother's womb, and he's sitting there at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now that was supernatural power. And but the verse I just want to draw our attention to is this. It says, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, because the people are all excited about what's happened. And he says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? And the whole point is that when you're baptized in the Spirit, it's you saying, I need your power, O God, to serve you. I need your power to serve you. This is the principle throughout Scripture. We need something and we get it by grace. Galatians says, did you receive the Spirit by works of the flesh, by doing something yourself, or by grace? No, it was by grace. And we received salvation by grace. Our righteousness came by grace. Righteousness came by grace. When we went to God and we said, I'm not righteous, I need your righteousness. And God gave it as a free gift. And we are righteous. Even if we sin now, we are righteous because of God's grace. And the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not because of their holiness that they were able to heal him. It wasn't by any power that they had, but it was because they went to God at a time. We said, we don't have the power to help people, to heal people, to preach the gospel and see people come under conviction of sin. And so, because of that, they says, this is why he was healed. Because we, in a sense, because we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I would just encourage people not to, if you're not baptized in the Spirit, not to be worried about it and not to feel discouraged if you're not, but to seek it. To seek it. Paul says, covet these spiritual gifts. And we could, if there were time, we'd go into details about the spiritual gifts. Perhaps we'll do it in a Bible study sometime. But I would encourage you to embrace it and say, I want to be in that position. I want that power to see incredible things happening. And the Lord will meet with you. The final remark George Burwa, who's been used across the world, wouldn't agree with everything. He says, but used very powerfully across the world and seen so many ministries started. That's the incredible thing, over so many years serving the Lord. I think it must be about 60 years now. He's seen so many ministries started across the world, and that's his great calling, to see things started. And so many ministries owe their start to his sort of help and encouragement. And he's not especially, he wouldn't particularly call himself a Pentecostal, but he believes in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he says this about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He says, I don't care how you get it, you just better get it. I don't care how you get it, you just better get it. And I would just encourage everyone here. Sometimes people get it through the laying on of hands. Some people are just praying and seeking after God. And then the Holy Spirit falls on them as they're in their private devotions. It's not given from one person to another, but he's there. And if you want that power, you want God to use you in a greater way. Not that God can't use you now as a born-again believer, but if you want God to use you in a greater way. For me, I want everything God has. I want everything that God has. The fullness of his presence, the fullness of his power. You go to God and say, I would like this. If there's something extra that I don't have, let me have this, that I might be used to the full extent that I am able. Let's just pray. Lord God, thank you that your word is clear. We've only touched on some of the scriptures, but thank you that this teaching is very clear. And we pray that as a church, as we believe in the importance of the written word, we do believe in the importance of holiness and the proclamation clearly of the gospel. We pray that we wouldn't miss out on this clear teaching of scripture about the baptism in the Holy Spirit that enables us to be used in a greater way than ever before, and to see people come under tremendous conviction of sin, and to see signs and wonders take place. And we pray that you would make these things clearer and clearer to us in the coming days, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.